shepherdless sheep. There was a businessman who was feeling quite harassed and discouraged from overwork. It was so bad that he had begun to have trouble sleeping. He was gaining weight from too little exercise, and his family life was suffering enormously. In an attempt to deal with the stress, he went to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist immediately prescribed less work. Furthermore, prescribed the doctor, I want you to spend an hour each week walking around the cemetery. Why on earth would you want me to do that? What would I do in a cemetery? The man replied. Not much. Take it easy and look around. Get acquainted with some of the men already there. And remember, they didn't finish their work either. No one ever does. I know that in this particular passage, the most critical thing people think is the story of the feeding of the multitude. But I want us to focus on something that Jesus told his disciples very early on in this gospel lesson. He turned to them and he said, "Let's get away from the crowds for a while and rest." Mark adds that Jesus and the disciples were so overwhelmed by the people that they didn't even have time to stop and eat. And so they decided that the best thing to do, or Jesus decided the best, was to get in a boat and go to a deserted place. Now, it makes you wonder if Jesus found it necessary to model and lead his disciples to take time to rest and recover. And they lived in a pre-industrial age 2,000 years ago. How much more urgent is that call for us today? More and more we encounter people and also experience ourselves the desperate need for rest and the feeling of being guilty when we finally do decide to take a little time and look after ourselves. Michael Curry, who's the Episcopal Bishop of North Carolina, gave a rousing sermon not that long ago in which he declared that what we need in this world are more crazy Christians. Christians who buck the trends of society, who look absolutely crazy to the world. Now, a huge part of what he was trying to say about doing crazy things was doing things, doing stuff. Doing justice, doing acts of love, doing forgiveness, etc. We need to acknowledge that part of our being different from the rest of the world is related to what we do. I get it. But what if part of bucking the trends of the world is bucking the trend of busyness? I think, honestly, we've become a world of ding-a-lings. I really believe it. Today, it seems like we're all like Pavlov's dog, reacting to every ring we hear. We've become so leashed, these things called cell phones. We hear a ring or a music tone, and we jump up like our pants are on fire. I've watched people climb over tables and benches and scramble through purses as if their lives depended on them getting that phone call or text. We're so leashed to these things that people have to now be reminded to turn them off at a funeral or in a theater. And yes, yours should be off right now. We're becoming defined by our dings. We make our busyness kind of a badge of honor, you and I. People come up to us just being friendly and say, "Well, how's it going?" And yours truly will often respond almost instinctively. "Oh, I'm very busy. It's crazy. It's overwhelming." And we say these things to someone else as if we're bragging. "Look at me. See how busy I am. See how indispensable I am to the universe." Busyness is not a badge of honor. It's a sign of an imbalanced life, an imbalanced ministry, an imbalanced spiritual life. Come away, Jesus said. This is important for us to focus on today. Whether we admit it or not, there's a very ugly image of God in Christ going around in which our Lord is being perceived as an angry taskmaster. If we are not fully productive of every waking hour, we think that somehow we're letting God down. Come on, really? Even God took the day off, goodness sakes. Jesus says that his yoke is light. So why do we live like following Christ is sucking the life out of us? The so-called Protestant work ethic, it's a lie. A vicious, life-destroying lie. Come away, Jesus said. Notice that Jesus didn't say, go away or get away. You notice that? His call isn't about escape, although I admit that on occasion that's what I'd like to do. His call is to come away with him. Let us, Jesus said. Jesus didn't just send his disciples off on their own. He went with them. He led them to the place where they could rest. Do you know such a place? It doesn't even have to be a geographical location. Sometimes it's just a time of prayer and silence. Norman Vincent Peale, many of you have heard of him, tells the story of a time that he actually went to a Quaker prayer service. And Peale had a very perplexing problem. He wasn't able to come up with an answer. And Peale writes this about his experience. In a Quaker meeting, you practice the art of spiritual silence. It is a practical demonstration of Psalm 45, be still and know that I am God. Or Isaiah 30, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. After a while, he says, even to the unpracticed, the deep silence has a way with you. At this meeting, a man spoke. He said, if anyone here has a problem, let that person drop it into the pool of deep quietness. I have never heard a more apt description, Peale writes. He continues, because that silence was deep and it was like a pool. I took that problem that had been baffling me and I said to myself, all right, we'll see what happens. I let it drop into that pool of quietness. And then the man said, now just sit resting in God's quietness. Believe that God will break your problem into its component parts and give you the answer before the meeting is over. And Peale continued, we continue to sit and wait and listen in silence. I don't know how long a time elapsed before another man rose and said, amen. And that was the end of the meeting. All of a sudden, as clear as crystal, came the answer to my problem. And never in my life have I had such a right answer. The particular slant was different, for I had been thinking and searching in a different direction. But intuitively, I recognized this for what it was. It was God's answer. St. Gregory, the theologian, wrote in the first theological oration, it is necessary to be truly at leisure to know God, and when we get a convenient season to discern the straight road of things divine. There is a time to speak and a time to be quiet. A time to be active and doing things and a time to stop and rest. I don't think anyone on this planet in its entire history has come to the end of their lives and said, gee, I wish I'd been busier. Came across a little nugget of advice from a Methodist minister who urged his congregation, a little more loafing, please. Or how about this folk saying, many of the world's problems come because our affairs are being handled by tired people. And the more truthful that the more we think about it, the more truthful it is, that statement. Being tired is just as impairing to us as being drunk. Without proper rest, people make mistakes that can be lethal. Mistakes at the wheel of the car. Tired doctors prescribe the wrong meds or mess up in a surgery. How many times have we heard about a terrible accident and then heard the news person tell us that it is caused by pilot, driver, or engineer fatigue? Come away, Jesus urged. And this leads us to another important point for all of us. Who's determining the agenda in your life? The gospel lesson tells us that the crowds were demanding that the disciples and Jesus, they were on them so much that they didn't even have time to eat. The crowds are absolutely relentless, and we can't blame them. They were sheep without a shepherd. And so the sick came demanding or desiring healing. The demon-possessed wanted release. The hungry wanted to be fed. The lost wanted to be saved. The ignorant wanted to be taught. And just as the disciples dealt with one person, there was another one to take their place. Just look around this world. Even in your own neighborhood. And you know the needs are endless out there. Everyone's clamoring for help. Everyone's clamoring for our attention. If Jesus let the crowd dictate his pace and his schedule, it probably would have killed his disciples and maybe even him. We too need to ask ourselves, who's dictating our pace? Who's dictating our schedule? Sometimes we tell ourselves that we don't have any choice in the matter. We're at the beck and call of our boss, we say, or our children, or our parishioners, or our customers, or whoever has a claim on our time. Is that true? Are you content and living the abundant life by rushing around every time your smartphone rings? You know, I read a very disturbing report recently, and to me it raises all kinds of red flags. About the number of people who are so tied to their jobs that they'll answer their phone 24/7. It is so bad that they take their laptops on vacation. They answer work emails when they should be away resting and relaxing or spending quality time with their families. Who or what is running your life? Is your life defined more by what you do than by whose you are? Can you even hear over the din of the busyness of your life Christ's call to come away? Have you the spiritual fortitude to say no to demands on your person that are absolutely unreasonable? Do you ever find yourself feeling guilty when someone comes up to you and demands your attention and you're just too exhausted to care at that moment, and so you listen to them but you're just going through the motions? Come away. One of my favorite sentences in our scripture lesson today is verse 32. They left by boat for a quieter place. It will not surprise you to learn that my enjoyment of fishing is being on my boat. And it's not just the fish, although it's pretty good, eh, Mike? It's great fun to catch the fish, and Mike would tell you they're kind of tasty, right, Mike? That's right. If I'm on my boat in Northern Lake, that's my coming away time. It doesn't take me but a few minutes to settle in on that boat, put a line in the water, you hear the birds singing. I especially like the loons. You hear the red squirrels chattering away, catching rare sights of otters and ducks, and even a bear has swum across in front of me. And I find myself slipping away. Slipping away from the busyness. And soon, it doesn't take very long often, I find myself praying and thinking and listening. I jokingly say that fishing is the greatest booster to my prayer life. I mean, I'm constantly on the boat praying, God, give me a fish. Or, God, don't let it get off the hook. All of us need that away spot. And it will look different for different people. Some people just need to go and listen to some music for a while. Some can get it by just immersing themselves in a good book. Others will go to a park and have a nice, long, leisurely walk. My only advice to you is that when you're doing that, turn your phone off. Turn your phone off when you're away with Jesus. Don't worry, the world does not revolve around you. The planets do not go out of alignment if you take a rest, even a long rest. As the gospel lesson demonstrates in verses 53 to 56, the problems and the needs of the world will still be there when you get back. But after a good rest, you will be in a much better position to be effective. I don't know how many of you have heard of Thomas Aquinas. He's the very famous medieval theologian. He created one of the greatest works of theology in the Western civilization. It's called Summa Theologica. It is a massive piece of work. 38 treatises, 3,000 articles, 10,000 objections. His goal was to create what we now call systematic theology. He wanted to take together all the thoughts about God and make one coherent whole of truth. It was a huge undertaking. Aquinas included thoughts on anthropology and science and ethics and psychology and political theory and theology, of course, all trying to point to an understanding of the nature of God. However, on December 6, 1273, something changed dramatically for Aquinas. He suddenly and without warning stopped his project. Just quit. What made him stop? Well, Aquinas was celebrating Mass in the chapel of St. Thomas, and while in worship, God revealed a glimpse of eternity. And Aquinas suddenly realized that his efforts to describe God fell so far short that he would never write again. When his secretary, Reginald, tried to encourage him to do more writing, Aquinas said, "Reginald, I can do no more. Such things have been revealed to me that all I have written seems like nothing but straw." Times of away are not about study, folks, or learning about God, although those are worthy pursuits. Jesus' call to come away is all about experiencing God like Thomas Aquinas did. Another picture of this is the one that Isaiah experienced in Isaiah chapter 6. And there we find Isaiah describing how God swept him up into heaven, into the very throne room of God. And Isaiah describes as best as he can what he experienced. Now, theologians and biblical scholars in our midst, they'll enjoy exploring the deep mysteries of what Isaiah saw. They'll ponder at length about what exactly is a seraphim, for example. It may be a useful experience some ways, but that's not the point of the Isaiah story. Isaiah was called away not to learn about God, but rather, and more importantly, to experience God, to dwell in His presence. Now, it's very exciting that in many ways we have something better than what Isaiah experienced, you and I. Sure, it would be awesome to be in that throne room, and one day we shall. But notice Isaiah had to be brought to God. Did you notice that? Now with Jesus, what happens? God comes to us. He calls us away not to impress us, but to restore us. He calls us to come and just enjoy being with Him. No agendas, no projects, no deadlines, just rest and refreshment. One story from the Bible that has always spoken to me is 1 Kings 19. The prophet Elijah, who is fearing for his life, runs away out into the wilderness. And out in the wilderness, the Bible says that Elijah sat down under, in Hebrew, the word is, a broom tree. And there he waited to die. He even begged God to take his life. In other words, Elijah was worn out, he was defeated, he was dejected, he was just completely burned out. He just couldn't go on any longer. And the Bible tells us that while he was under the broom tree, God came and brought him bread and water to drink. And God tells Elijah that he's got a long journey ahead, so he has to be rested and fed. Before Laura and I went to Toronto, we ran a bed and breakfast in a retreat center in Selkirk called the Broom Tree Guest House. Our idea was to provide a place to come away, to meet quietly with God. And many folks did that over the time we were there. Where's the broom tree in your life? Where's that place that you can shut off the world and simply be with God? I do encourage you not to leave your time away until you're in such a bad state as Elijah. But if you're calling on God to take your life, then by all means, why aren't you away already? We are no good to anyone, even ourselves, when our strength is gone, our vision is clouded, and our hope is diminished. When complimented on homemade biscuits, the cook at a popular Christian conference center told Dr. Harry Ironside, "Just consider what goes into making these biscuits. The flour itself doesn't taste good, neither does the baking powder, nor the shortening, nor the other ingredients. However, when I mix them together and put them in the oven, they come out just right." You know, much of life can seem tasteless. But God is able to take those ingredients of our lives in such a way that incredible and magnificent things can happen. But to do these marvelous things in our lives, He needs you to come away, to experience the depth and the wonder of His love, His wonder and love for you. So come away, my friend, and taste and see that the Lord is good.